Share Care, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents Share Care Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria. I am thrilled to welcome back with me Dr. Shauna Dowell for our regular women's health segment. Dr. Dowell is a certified OBGYN, assistant professor at Vanderbilt University, and chair of the obstetrics and pediatrics department of Northcrest Medical Center. We have her on today in honor of National Condom Day to ask some questions about birth control. Shauna, thank you so much for joining us.
So happy to be here.
I want to talk, I know there are options, there are both short-term and long-term options for birth control. You know, long-term meaning some IUDs and Nexplanon. Can we talk about some of the long-term ones first, like IUDs, risks and benefits of them?
Sure, absolutely. In general, we try to recommend that most women first at least consider one of what we call LARCs, or long-acting reversible contraception. So that would be your IUD or something called Nexplanon. The IUD is an insert that goes into your uterus, and it's good, depending on the type, for up to 3, 5, or 10 years. And then the Nexplanon, which is a little implantable, flexible rod that goes under the skin in your arm, is good for up to 3 years.
Okay. Now, a lot of people ask, like, does it hurt to have these put in?
It's a little bit uncomfortable, but speaking from personal experience, I can say that it is worth it. The great things about these methods is that the advantages are so great. So it's a little bit of inconvenience for a huge payoff. So the Nexplanon does hurt a little bit to get put in. Your provider will numb the area. That's usually the worst part. And then it's basically like getting an IV, but because you're already numb, you don't feel it. Then the IUD does require an exam, a pelvic exam with a speculum, and it is a little bit more crampy just because you are getting something placed into your uterus.
Now, I want to talk about that. You kind of mentioned efficacy and risks. What are some of the risks of Nexplanon, and how effective is it?
The risks are pretty minimal, actually, and both of the long-acting reversible methods that I was talking about are very effective. So they are as effective as if you had your tubes tied, but completely reversible.
Wow.
The other benefits are the convenience, the low maintenance of it, so you don't have to do anything. We all have forgotten birth control pills before. Once this is placed, there is very little to do. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. You don't have to remember anything. And when or if you decide you don't want that method, you just go back to your provider and have it removed. They're also extremely cost-effective.
That's a great point. Now, I've heard some people worry that it could cause infertility. Is there any risk with that?
That's a common misconception. IUDs kind of got a bad rap because the original IUDs several decades ago had a string, which all IUDs have, that hangs into your vagina. That is how you remove it when you're ready to have it removed. The original IUD strings had, they were made from a type of material that bacteria could kind of attach themselves to, and the bacteria would crawl up the strings into your uterus, into your fallopian tubes, and put you at risk for pelvic inflammatory disease. None of the IUDs that are manufactured now have that, but that is where that misconception comes from.
Oh, that's great to know. So it's really just a change in the product that doesn't have that risks now.
Exactly.
That's great. Now, what about moving on to kind of more the shorter term ones, like what we all know, like the birth control pill and patches and things like that? Are the risks different?
The risks are different in general, and this is something that I think is important for all women to remember, is in general, and obviously there's caveats specifically which you should discuss with your provider, but being on birth control is safer than being pregnant for most women. So any type of birth control is going to be pretty safe. Obviously, each method has risks and benefits, and you would have a health history taken before you start one with your provider. But, for example, the birth control pills the biggest risk, which would be a blood clot in your leg, it's still such a small risk that unless you have certain medical conditions like a family history of blood clots or yourself had a previous blood clot or high blood pressure or migraines that had aura or you were breastfeeding, most women, if they don't have those, have a variety of birth control options from which to choose.
Okay, and that's a really good point. It is a lot less likely, you're a lot less likely to clot from having being on the pill than you are from the risk of blood clots and other conditions from being pregnant.
Exactly.
I like to tell my patients that too. It's really great. Now, on to the safety of the pill, a lot of women now have been taking, they've been on a pill or some sort of contraceptive for 10, 15 years. You know, is it safe? And is there a limit to the amount of time somebody should be taking the pill?
It is safe to be on the pill for long periods of time. And again, this goes back to which is safer, being pregnant or being on birth control. Mm-hmm. One thing to remember is having a period is not necessary. And most women nowadays, we tend to have more periods than women 50 years ago did. And that's because we're getting our periods earlier. We tend to have fewer pregnancies. We tend to breastfeed for a shorter amount of time. So if you keep that in mind and remember that the way that the pill was designed was pretty arbitrary to give you a regulated period every month, you realize maybe I don't need to have a period.
Okay. Good to know. So there's not something people don't need to worry if they've been on it for a long period of time. What about risks of breast cancer?
The breast cancer studies related to the birth control pills are a little bit conflicting, but no study has proven that being on the pill increases your breast cancer risk.
Okay, great. And it's also, so it's important to note that there are both hormonal and non-hormonal ways of having, you know, birth and oral, of having contraception. So like an IUD doesn't necessarily have to have hormones if somebody wants to avoid them, right?
Exactly. There are three types of IUDs. Two of them have progesterone, and the other one has no hormone, and that one is good for up to 10 years.
Okay. Great to know. Now, you know, is it best to be on the lowest hormone dose of birth control, whatever contraceptive version they use?
Yes. So one thing we know is most women are started on a low-dose birth control pill, and we do know that the lower the dose, the lower your risk. So the birth control pills from 30 years ago, in general, had a lot higher hormone dose than what you would typically be started on now.
Okay, great to know. Now, lastly, birth control, can it interfere with any of my medications, vaccinations, antibiotics?
That is another thing that I get a lot of questions about from patients because I think, again, there's a lot of misinformation out there about that. Mm-hmm. In general, very few medicines will interfere with your birth control. And again, you have to check with your provider. But for example, rifampin, it's an antibiotic that you would use to treat tuberculosis. That your birth control pill can affect that medication. Another group of medicines that can be affected if you are on birth control pills is if you have epilepsy and take an anticonvulsant. So birth control pill would not be a good choice if you have epilepsy and you would need to talk with your provider about choosing an IUD or Depo-Provera shot.
Great to know. So it really depends on the medication. Always have a conversation with your doctor. Thank you so much, Shauna, for your help. Everyone, if you ever want to find Dr. Dowell, you can find her ShareCare profile. And we'll be linking to her profile on ShareCare at sharecare.com/sharecareradio. You can find the link for this podcast. You can find the link to her profile right there and go follow her at ShareCare. We look forward to having you back again on the show. This is Dr. Daria. You're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.